making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
And there's early movement as Trubisky takes the snap.
They moved.
False start. Offense, number 10.
Oh, he moved.
Oh, he's lost right now.
He went on the cue from the quarterback.
Look, he did a little shuffle step back. He forgot his own snap count.
My, oh, my. Bears will spend a timeout with 22 seconds to go.
I've seen it all.
So Chicago finally spends one of its three timeouts.
Stupid.
Just 22 seconds remaining here in the second quarter.
Makes no sense the way they've handled the final 4 minutes of this half. A little in over your head from a clock management standpoint.
Go for the field goal.
The offense is going to stay on the field for the moment.
Takes its third and final timeout of the half.
Okay, so it's a 57-yarder.
Trubisky takes the snap. He throws it underneath to Cohen, makes the catch, and then runs backward at the 35. Sprints to the 25-yard line, and he's hit and driven out of bounds with a tackle made by Derek Rivers.
You got 30
along
minutes
the near side.
You got 30 minutes to figure things out because you can't lose to this football team. This team's lost.
Caught by Hogan, open in the defense, and he runs it to the Chicago 48-yard line, and a late flag comes in. In fact, a second marker is thrown to the turf with a hit by Eddie Jackson.
Just dumb. I mean, if you don't beat this team today.
You stupid or something.
This is not a good football team you're playing.
I'm as stupid does.
I can't get over that they didn't try a field goal before the half.
I don't know what they took a timeout to throw that check down. But they let 2 minutes.
What the hell are you doing?
But they let 2 minutes go off the clock earlier to where they didn't call any timeouts. They burned their first timeout at like 22 seconds.
22 seconds.
To do what?
I don't know.
Like they were content to go in down four.
They have no understanding of the in-game stuff. That is Matt Nagy.
I heard this
just like his guy, Andy Reid, has no command of the clock.
I heard this all week, too, that they got a good defense, and it's an attacking defense, and the defense got so much better. And the whole game, you see them, like, they turn and look to the side, like, what's the call? Like, you watch a good defense, like Seattle back in the day when Pete had him jamming. It's attack mode, man. The calls are good. This guy's making a call. These guys are slapping each other on the butt, moving this guy down in the A gap. Now, okay, I'm bringing this guy up. The fake blitz, you walk up, you bail out. It's like they just went through the motion, Chicago. And that was frustrating calling that game because you're so much better than this team.
Oh, they're so
dumb.
You
realized by halftime, you were head and shoulders above the team you were playing on the other side, yet it was a tight game. That's like, figure this crap out and blow this team out in the second half. That's what you wanted them to do at halftime, because they were playing. They were playing to just get in the locker room.
Hey, what did you make of the deep pass down the sideline? The attempt to Tariq Cohen on the previous drive before the half. It was a third down play. It was like third and five.
Okay. I understand.
Third, maybe even shorter than that.
I understood the read because this is what we do with James White. We flex him out to the sideline, and okay, you're going to take your safety that's been struggling. You put him out there and cover him, or a linebacker. You take the shot there. Brady does it. Devin McCourty runs out there with Cohen. Cohen's like a 4-3 guy. So I'm thinking, okay, he's going to blow his doors off. Problem is, Trubisky threw the ball 5 yards out of bounds. He didn't give him a chance to catch it. A good read, bad throw. So it's like 50-50, you know? I mean, I understand it. You get out there, okay, it's a look we're looking for. It's single high safety. Safety's not going to make a play. You got a guy that struggled in coverage, gave up, right? Bill Belichick said he gave up 21 points last week to Kansas City.
Yeah, he did. Except your quarterback is still Mitch Trubisky, which is, if you're looking for the number one reason why the Bears were stupid yesterday, this is it right here.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky. Quarterback, North Carolina.
And there it is. Your dumbest thing you had yesterday was the selection of Mitch Trubisky, because you are going nowhere with that guy as your quarterback. Nowhere.
You
think you can win a Super Bowl with Mitch Trubisky? Keep dreaming.
You know what you do when a guy plays 1 year at college ball? You get drafted right here, like 84th pick. That's what you do. That's where you pick guys. You don't give four picks to the 49ers, trade up one spot to pick a kid number two overall. They missed on this guy. Problem is, you come out in a year where maybe the quarterback crew or the class isn't that good. So now I look a hell of a lot better than what I actually am. You know what he is? And that's what, you know who played 1 year? down at Texas A&M, it was Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill did that. Dolphins got all giddy, but at least the Dolphins picked at the end of the first round. You know, you didn't pick Tannehill up in the top 10. He's not a top 10 pick. Trubisky's top 5 pick. He's in his second year, but you know, I mean, he played a little bit last year.
He gave up 4 picks to get him.
How many picks did he throw yesterday? 2? He threw one when they hit Atlanta Roberts right between the 5 and the 2, and Gilmore baited him into almost throwing a 4th. He should have 4 or 5 picks yesterday.
And yesterday when I talked about this pregame and postgame, you know what I said about this? The league missed on Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, because everybody, that's how you get up a draft board, because everybody gets giddy on it.
Because it wasn't just Chicago. If it wasn't Chicago, it would have been one of a bunch of other teams, including, here's a list of teams that had interest in Trubisky coming out that tried to trade up to try and get him.
Right.
The Browns, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Cardinals, all of them were looking to get up the board and try and get Mitch Trubisky.
Didn't Mahomes come out his year? He came out his year, right? The Chiefs ended up having to take Mahomes because they wanted to trade up to get this kid.
Yes.
So we'll sit there and take Mahomes.
Yes.
Night and day. Night and day different. But remember when he came out of Carolina, he had a pickup truck. He didn't pay much for it. He still has that pickup truck that he drives. But the problem, the cool thing was, he was Mitch.
Emily Kaplan, MMQB, reported at the time, league sources say the Chiefs coveted Trubisky and could have been a threat. They tried to move up to number 2 to get him. Oh. They would have liked to have had Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. So all the credit you want to give to Kansas City and Andy Reid for drafting Mahomes.
He almost blew it.
Their guy was Trubisky.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Trubisky might have been a little better with Andy Reid, though.
Maybe.
I know he has Nagy, but...
Are you sure? Do you think it's... we had a caller a couple minutes ago saying he's going to get coaching.
He's rigid.
I don't think it's a coaching problem.
It's Tannehill.
It's a him problem.
Rigidity, if it makes sense. I said it in warm-up watching him. Something ain't right.
I don't think it's a coaching problem. Nope. It's not good. Never going to be a guy who can win a Super Bowl.
Plus, the guy changed his name the week of the draft.
So the
don't
Niners,
call me Mitch. Call me Mitchell.
The Niners traded out of the 2 spot. They gave up 3 picks, plus they swapped from 2 to 3.
Oh, yeah.
The Niners, not with the same pick, but in the 3rd round, they ended up taking C.J. Beathard in the 3rd round. Would you rather have C.J. Beathard or Mitch Trubisky?
Beathard.
Based on, I only watched Beathard play against Green Bay. I'd take Beathard.
So they got Beathard plus 4 more picks.
Not bad.
Basically, if you want to work
not bad.
I'm calling a game based on our defense isn't great. But they compete, right? He's got some talent around him. He does. It's not the talent you had in Kansas City the week prior, but he has some talent. You know, Burton's a functional tight end. He hit you for $120. He couldn't get anything outside. They did a good job covering outside. I mean, Gilmore played well. What's interesting, too, you went smaller nickel. A lot of Rowe, a lot of Jonathan Jones, a little less of Jason McCourty. Kind of wondering where that one was heading. He played a little bit on 3rd down, though. He was more in your 3rd down packages. So they did some things differently defensively yesterday.
All right, let's talk some baseball. We got some baseball to get to. Mix in some Red Sox-Dodgers thoughts now that we know it's the Dodgers that they will face in the World Series.
Beat L.A.
We've got that coming up next. We've got Read and React coming up at 11:36. I have a concern about the Red Sox. Concern. A little too loose.
They tweeted out a tweet the other day of pictures of like, ooh, really handling this stress.
That's not the team, though.
Well, everybody's smiling, having fun. I mean, does anybody else think this is weird at all? Or you think this
happened if you missed it over the weekend? Chris Sale spoke to the media and was asked about what it was that he was dealing with. And with a completely straight face, poker face, says that he was in the hospital. It was complications from an infection with his belly button ring. He does not have a belly button ring. He was just screwing with everybody. And I guess that it's supposed to be like really funny. I mean,
162 games postseason. You're a beat guy. You're putting in the mileage. You're there all spring training. You do the leg work. You do your job and you get this. How are you supposed to take that? I'm not ripping Sale, but I'm like,
why not?
This is the World Freaking Series, and your front guy is playing games with the media. Your number one guy, your ace.
Hey, Chris, can you tell us how you did in your last start in the last series against Houston. Oh, wait, you didn't make that start. That's right, you weren't there.
This kind of puts him out there on a pedestal, though.
How are you in your first start of that series? Were your lights out in that one? Oh, no? Oh. I just don't get why it's all like fun and games and jokes now. Are you kidding me? Everyone's waiting to see if he still can pitch, if he can still actually pitch well, if he's able to rebound from whatever it was he was dealing with.
This is weird.
It's strange.
Thank you. Okay. He got the media. Really? You got national people there now, too, asking questions. How does this make you look?
If he goes out in game one.
Now your manager's got to make jokes about it.
If he goes out in game one, right, tomorrow night, and he gets shelled, are we going to go back to the weekend and say, maybe you should have been a little more focused on the game? Maybe you should have been a little more focused on the World Series and what that is and what that means, because he's never played in a World Series. He doesn't know about it. He doesn't know what the intensity is of that situation. First time for him. Will we not go back to the weekend and say, what the hell are you doing? What is the point of all this? We absolutely will. And if he goes out and he's lights out, you can all come back here and tell me I'm an idiot on Wednesday. Go for it. Doesn't bother me. But I just looked at it over the weekend, thinking to myself, wow, pretty loose, pretty cocky for a guy who didn't make his last start. And wasn't himself in the one before it.
It's not even cocky. It's weird. Like, this is your moment. It's your big spot. And you're joking about having a belly ring infection. This is weird, man.
It's just so cute. Oh, isn't it fun? And all the Red Sox, they're just so funny. Like, Alex Cora. What the hell is Alex Cora doing?
I think he's got to help protect the player. Like, okay, if he wants to go down this road, that's him then. Okay, let's have fun with the belly ring.
Could you imagine?
No.
Any of the other three coaches in this town, I would say Belichick, but we know the answer there, and it's definitive. Okay? But could you imagine Brad Stevens, or could you imagine Bruce Cassidy laughing and giggling about a belly button ring before they play game one of a championship?
No.
The way Alex Cora did? I'm sort of disappointed in him in this, too, because I think he's had a great postseason and has managed the team and the focus and everything about it so well. Jim, if you could play it again, what we played at the top of this segment, just listen to it. It's bizarre, is what it is.
He's good to go. He's our game one starter. Everything works out, you know, for a reason. And you know, game five happened, and he gets a few more off days so he can take care of his belly button. And he'll be ready to go.
Okay, stop.
Belly button.
Whoa.
What are you doing?
Any chuckle from the media there?
Slightly, but not really.
Not
one of those moments where the media's in there laughing it up and giggling it up with the manager. At least it wasn't one of those. But it's odd. The whole thing was odd. I wish it were a better joke. Go, I have a belly button ring.
Like, this is...
I don't even think the guys who cover the team reacted, because I read all their stories on it.
Again,
and they were sort of along these lines of, we don't really get what this guy is doing.
Okay, so maybe this guy needs to do this. Maybe this is the way he needs to get his mind right for it, or take his mind off the pitching part of it. So to your question of, okay, how'd you pitch your last two times out? I mean, I guess weird is the way to term this, because the team's damn good. They kicked ass on the road against the Yankees and the Astros. You're rolling into the World Series. You're pitching at home. He's your starter. And you're cracking serious jokes about a belly ring infection. This is freaking weird, man. But maybe this is what makes him tick, and maybe this is what makes that team tick. I don't know. But, like, if you're a reporter now, I'm on guard. What do you take as serious now with this team?
I think Cora's trying to walk the fine line of being the manager and being one of the guys. And he's trying to go both ways.
And he's done a great job at it all year long. I complimented him. I think that's what makes this guy good, is he's as relatable as a guy that just recently played, but it was a long time ago that he played. Still play with Pedroia. That's how old Pedroia is. You know? I don't know. This is a tough one for him. I don't know how he should handle this. Maybe, what are you going to sit there and give Chris Sale a slap on the wrist and a spanking publicly? I think you just let it take its course. And if it's on him, it's on him. Put it on him. He wants to have fun with his little belly ring? Have fun with it.
Here.
It's odd.
Get a clean recording. Too loose. Too loose. Thank you. Put that in the system, if you don't mind. Thanks. Appreciate it.
On the Sale thing, though, is it in any response to the Dombrowski stuff? It's up to Chris to disclose it. So then Chris disclosed it.
It's a good question.
He knows the team's not going to disclose it.
Are they hanging me out to dry? Yeah. You know what? That's a good question.
It makes Sale look a lot. We said it last week. Dombrowski makes Sale look worse by saying it's up to him to disclose it.
Well, right? I wouldn't say that. I would say, is he actually hiding whatever it really
like
is?
HIPAA law
is this him
like
creating a distraction
about?
Because he doesn't want to actually say what it is that caused it? Because he doesn't want to actually say whatever drugs may have been involved.
Yeah, because a joke technically is not a lie, right?
Right.
So he's not lying.
Oh, it was just
he's
a joke.
Joking.
And now people are talking about this and saying, no, tell us what actually happened.
If
we
he said I
know.
Had the flu, that would be a legitimate lie if that wasn't the case. But right. This is a joke.
Yeah, this is just a joke. The belly button thing.
This is odd.
Is it just a way of avoiding saying what the hell actually
happened?
I
mean, we're not trying to drum something up. It's on. Our whole text strain when this came out, Tom's like, what the F? When Tom had the first report on the
what is
on
this?
The cell thing, we landed in Chicago, and you start to read our text strain going back and forth like, what the F is going on? Okay, so he's really got an infection. That's weird.
You watch any of the Dodgers over the weekend? You watch them Saturday night?
They were on FS1, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in case you missed it, Manny Machado laid down a bunt, and oh my God, were they excited about that on that Fox broadcast. That's all they talked about the whole game.
You see what Joe Buck's
Machado's been dirty, but he's been money, too.
Oh,
at the same time, he's both dirty and great.
He's a fabulous player. He's a terrific player.
You see what Joe Buck's week looks like? He's calling games 1 and 2 of the World Series. He's then hopping on a flight, going to do the Thursday night game. I think it's in Miami. I think Miami plays Thursday.
Dolphins-Texans.
And then he's flying to do game 3. So he's calling 4 games in 5 days. Pretty good.
So Boston to Miami to
Boston,
LA.
Boston, Miami to LA.
What a gig.
When you're the best.
What a gig. Yeah. I'm sure he's flying private. So, Robbie's in New Hampshire. Robbie, what are you making for Sale?
Clipping his nails.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think you guys have it all wrong. I think it's quite likely that the man was puking his guts out, had diarrhea, the runs, whatever, and he just doesn't want to talk about it. Could that possibly be it? I think.
No, we already know that he had all that. What we want to know is why. What caused it?
Maybe it was something he ate. Maybe it was mother made him something that gave him food poisoning.
Got a hold of a bad clam.
Want to embarrass them.
Maybe it was a syringe full of Toradol that put a hole in his esophagus.
Whoa,
I don't know. Could be that,
too. You ever try to razor clams with a little spaghetti and a little white wine sauce? Those razor clams, if they don't open all the way,
it's bad news.
Don't pry them open and eat what's inside.
That'll make you very sick. Very sick. Paul's in Burlington. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. I'm an attorney, and Dombrowski's point about...
It's Benenson? Is this William Benenson?
No.
The Patriots pulpit, William, we drove away all day.
He's a lawyer. He's a lawyer.
12 hours of travel.
What legal ramifications are we missing?
Is this a HIPAA thing? Are you going to give me the HIPAA thing?
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got, lawyer?
So basically, Dombrowski's claim is baseless because, one, HIPAA only applies to a healthcare provider and insurance company. So
good
that's
to know.
Out. He's not an insurance company. The rest of our insurance company. But moreover, and I think Tony Maserati could probably provide a little bit more substantiation on it. But basically,
Maz also a lawyer. It was free time. Co-counsel.
He's Italian.
He went to night school for that.
They need to. I think the contract basically says that more or less that they waive the ability for them to cry out that it's like some sort of privacy issue because it is a matter of. Team concern and moreover a little bit of a public concern, you know, in terms of really the fans. You know,
so you're saying
know
Dombrowski has nothing to stand on when he says I can't disclose it?
No, nonetheless, I'm missing something, but certainly it's not HIPAA. I can guarantee you that.
Thank you, Paul. That's a lawyer. It's a legal opinion
speak.
Right there.
Like legal speak.
And Maz can back him up.
Yeah! I don't know where that came from.
He's Italian.
I'd like to turn over the rest of this argument to my co-counsel, Anthony Maserati.
Yeah, what he said.
He also practices the law from time to time. It's a hobby of his.
Nail biter.
It's a hobby. Brian in Bellingham wants to defend Chris Sale. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking
What's
my
up,
call.
Man? No
I agree with what Cora did. I think Cora staying loose is great. I think the players staying loose is great. I'd like to see that. I like them to see having fun, even though it's the World Series. However, you know, the one thing I do agree with you guys on is I think Chris Sale should never have said something that wasn't true, even joked about it. I think we as the fans deserve to hear, you know, a little bit of what's going on. And he doesn't have to come out and say, oh, I had the run. But at least he can say, oh, I was dealing with a stomach issue and, you know, whatever. we deserve at least that much, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. Did he miss significant time? Did he somehow cost his team a win somewhere? Was he unavailable?
He was unavailable.
But they didn't need him for a start that he missed.
Well, I guess not, because rotation, David Price came through.
Right, rotation-wise. But I know. Do you feel you're owed something by Chris Sale in this whole scenario?
I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel like he owed us anything. No.
Yeah, I guess he did miss time. He did miss the start. Yeah. It was David Price's spot in the rotation. Yeah. But
I don't feel like – no, I was not saying – tell us what was going on. No.
If he had said,
listen, it's in the past, I'm feeling better and I just want to focus on the World Series, great.
If he was in the clubhouse the day of the game that he was supposed to start and Price went instead and they said, hey, what's wrong, Chris? And he goes, my belly button ring got infected, and walked away and be like, okay, now you're being a dink. But 3-4 days after the fact, when he's all lined up to get the ball in game one of the World Series, if he wants to, I don't know, just be more Chris Sale. Can you tell us about your success against the Yankees? No. What was wrong with your stomach? Belly button ring infection? Fine. He's got the ass a little bit. He doesn't want to talk about it. The guy's getting the ball game one of the World Series. He didn't want to talk right now. He doesn't want to talk about diarrhea or a stomach upset or anything else. Owed something else. Maybe later down the road. Now, he's fine.
Read and React is coming up next. We will get back to the Red Sox later in the hour. I want to talk about Mookie Betts because he might play some second base in this series. We'll get to that after Read and React, which, again, is next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots got the win in Chicago yesterday. Let's talk about Tom Brady. Actually, it's really more about James White right now and Josh Gordon. Getting more confidence, more of a role on offense. James, what do you have to say about all that?
He's working extremely hard. He's buying in. He's paying attention to everything that the coaches have been talking to him about. And he's playing hard. He's been making big plays for us. We had a huge play towards the end of the game and a huge fourth down conversion, too. So we have a lot of guys stepping up, making plays. I mean, nobody really cares who gets to shine. Just go out there and make a play if the ball comes your way or if you get the football.
Next up, the Pats visit the Bills a week from tonight. Bills lost to the Colts yesterday, 37-5. The Monday night game, it'll be the Giants versus the Falcons. Sonny Michel, maybe not as serious as originally feared for the Patriots. He left the game with a knee injury. He's reportedly undergoing an MRI today. Still could be ACL, could be MCL, according to Tom Curran. Red Sox and Dodgers play game one of the World Series tomorrow night, as we just discussed. Chris Sale will get the ball to get things going at Fenway Park. And the Celtics take on the Magic at the TD Garden tonight. Aaron Baines ruled out with a hamstring. Sean Granny and Cedric Maxwell have the call right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere,
you should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's time to rage.
Did you see Phil running away from the... Excuse me.
Oh, Jesus!
And react.
You don't think you could have beat off that shark?
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Sanitarium.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, read and react, Hardy. All the good stuff from the weekend in the NFL.
Hold on.
A quick correction, too.
What?
Go ahead.
Speaking of beating a shark off, did you see that 18-footer they got in Cape Cod Bay that was eating a well last week?
That was like 3 weeks ago. And yeah, we saw it.
They don't know where it's at right now. That's one that they didn't tag. That's freaking floating around out there somewhere.
So what? There's a lot of sharks out there.
Not that size. They said not that size.
Please, we're trying to start a segment.
I was
here.
Looking at the wrong city. Not 61 degrees. 44 degrees currently in Boston.
61 felt a little warm.
44. That sounds a little cold.
Close Kyoto or something like that is way it's spelled.
Kyoto.
Texans beat the Jaguars 20-7. Houston cornerback Deshaun Watson had to travel to Jacksonville. Did you hear about this? On a bus.
I did.
On a bus. He's concerned about his injured lung. Didn't want to fly, apparently. He talked about the trip in the postgame.
It was smooth. I mean, we just kind of hung out, watched the film, recovery stuff, played a game, watched TV, slept, stopped and got something to eat. That was pretty much it.
Okay, question.
It's nice when you have a traveling bus of a country band that is fully stacked and furnished, and you have a 60-inch TV and You have
that's
a
sort of my
bed.
Question. Was it like the Drive for Five bus?
Yeah.
Where it's got a bedroom.
Right.
It's got a living room.
And if that's the case, allow me to tell you, it's not all that nice.
You well, wait a minute, Hardy.
Be much better off flying.
No, 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 no.
But what if it's like a... like
you
a,
had bunks.
Yeah, what about a bus that actually has a bedroom in the back, like
one.
Celebrities have?
You're still on
was
a
it one of those?
Bus. You're driving.
I understand that. That sucks that you're on a bus.
Yes,
we get it.
Boom, boom,
it's
room.
A lot better to be on a bus that's nicely furnished as opposed to a Greyhound.
Oh, yeah. He's, I didn't think he was on a Greyhound.
He's on a Rock
Band
bus.
I don't know what he was on.
Like the Madden Cruiser.
But
yeah, the boom boom room in the back.
I mean, was he medically cleared
to fly?
To fly?
No, he was not.
So he could
fly. Well, wait
fly.
A minute. No, I think he could fly, but
could
they're worried
fly, but
what
about
happens when you fly is you get inflammation.
Look at that bus.
And you
Hardy
get, you know, fluid that can build up. That's why they didn't fly him.
That's a nice bus you're on.
That's why you
it
see, like, players
nice
who get
bus.
Hurt in a game and then they have to fly, they use all those compression sleeves when they fly.
Would you say during a break you just hope the people that
swelling?
Drove the Drive for Five bus didn't drive him?
I didn't say that.
How are those drivers?
They took showers in hotel rooms.
Irky. Yeah, they got to sleep in a hotel room.
Well, they
night.
Do have the most ate. Important job on the bus, which is driving the bus.
I heard they did eat.
I just want to see how long it takes to drive there. 12 hours. You know what? You can do that in a day. Do you remember the first day on the Drive for Five bus?
I wasn't on the bus.
No.
I took a flight.
But when we called in, Big Jim and I called in, we were like, this is great. This isn't bad at all after the first day. So 12 hours on that bus, it probably wasn't bad. It's the second day.
When you do 12 more or
and
15
then,
more?
24.
Oh,
I mean,
shower.
It's like the first 24 hours
oh,
is
oh,
actually
you mean
okay.
In terms of time spent
it was
on
half
the bus.
A day, no.
Didn't you develop a rash?
No, I did not. 12 hours. Would you think it would be longer or shorter to drive from Houston to Jacksonville? I would think more than 12
longer.
Hours.
I would think longer.
So, all right.
Houston's a big state.
Okay. Not such
Houston
a...
is a big state.
Damn it. Texas is a big state. Houston's like not like... All right. Never mind.
Jags coach Doug Marrone talked about benching Blake Bortles.
The thought process behind it was, you know, you could take all 11 out, but you don't have enough people to put in. So the thought process was, hey, listen, I'm going to take the quarterback out. It's not like he played worse than anyone else out there. You know, he did have the two
took
hold,
him out.
Hold on.
Okay, I'd take the entire team out, but I didn't have an entire other team to swap in, is what he's saying.
Well,
so
like,
I started and ended with
it's
the
like
quarterback.
You fire the coach instead of firing the whole team.
Right.
So he fired the quarterback for that portion of the game instead of firing the whole team. What? How about a wide receiver?
This is a typical.
How about a running back?
This is a typical
offensive lineman.
It's not about the. It's not about Bortles. It's just one guy.
How about you just
had to change one guy?
Call it for what it is. He didn't play well. I benched him.
This is what happens when
be
teams,
better.
When teams celebrate game two wins as the game of the year and they make that game your Super Bowl. It
to
was
try to
sky
get a damn
high.
Spark from this football team
yeah.
to put everyone on notice, okay, to that they have to focus and they have to go out there and play better.
Wow.
That's not fair to the quarterback, but that's the way this business is. So really when we talk about it and the questions are going to be, well, who's your starting quarterback next week? And, you know, the focus will be on that.
Oh, is anyone going to ask that?
You know
think?
What? I think, you know, those cocky suckers on that defensive side, you know, those guys like Mack and that company running and Jalen Ramsey must be thinking, boy, when they put Cody Kessler in, that puts us on notice, guys. We better get our ass in gear. Mm-hmm.
Since beating the
Cody
Patriots.
Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
Since beating the Patriots, the Jaguars have dropped 4 of 5. They have losses to the Titans.
Oh.
Cowboys and Texans in that stretch. Their one good loss, they did lose to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Remember we did
but
a question.
For me, it's on everyone.
How did Blake handle being benched?
He was pissed. That's good. You know, he should be pissed. He's pissed at me, you know, and he should be. I have no problems with that. If it was any other way, then that would be a problem.
Okay.
Now they get to go to London next week.
Oh, hello.
Against the Eagles.
Jolly old chap. I can't wait to hear Michael Irvin again. Tonight.
Hello, mate.
What did Michael Irvin say? We go to Queen. Yes,
I just love how both you and Irvin do the same thing with
yes.
mate.
For, hello, mate.
Yeah, no, wrong country.
Were you thinking, oh, chap? Because chap doesn't flow off. Mate
the
flows
mate,
off the
mate mountain.
They go to mate mountain.
How did Hardy behave when people started doing their fake British accents?
That's good.
Oh, no, I did not say that.
Mm-hmm.
He was pissed.
Yes, that's exactly
okay,
right.
Okay,
all right. Here we go. Moving on.
Put the game on.
Titans lost to the Chargers 2019 in London. Mike Vrabel on the decision to go for two for the win at the end of the game. This was exciting stuff.
You know, I told the team that we made a decision that we're going to be aggressive. And early in the drive, when that drive started, I thought in my mind that if we scored, when we scored, If there was less than 40 seconds, we were going to go for two. We're going to win the game. And if there was, you know, if it was a minute and 30, we're going to, you know, kick the extra point and go play defense. So, you know, I got a lot of faith in our players. They've been, you know, converting, you know, third downs and converting in those situations. And Marcus was, you know, doing everything we need him to do and keeping plays alive. And so, you know, I can't, not going to second guess the call. Just didn't work out.
I thought it was a bad call. I love the decision. I didn't like the call because they were aggressive. The they call. Attacked it. I mean, you got a quarterback could run, like run a play action bootleg to where
Mariota
you give him the run
keep
option.
The ball going to the end zone.
Right. So they went shotgun and like he's fading back, waiting. No, that's not what you do down there. That's going to go a long way for him because you're a first year head coach. You're trying to establish a certain environment around your team. Hey, they love Vrabel and he believes in them. They believe in him. I tell you what, though, nobody's talking about San Diego. LA. The LA Chargers.
Yeah.
LA Chargers got a veteran quarterback, and they're sitting there at 4-2.
Well, I can tell you that offensively, with points scored, Tennessee ranks 30th in the National Football League out of the 32 teams. They struggle to score points. I like the decision to go for it. The call of the actual play itself, you can question. But going for it was the right call.
You got Deion Lewis. You run a bootleg.
Deion Lewis was wide open. If they had a penalty on the first one, he was wide open in the flat, and Marcus Mariota did not see him.
Missed him.
He didn't see him until too late, and then he got held. That's why they had a second chance.
National the Pasta Day.
React. Bruins lost another heartbreaker, 26-23. Lost another heartbreaker, 26-23 in overtime.
Oh, this is great.
To the Bucks, Cleveland head coach said...
Listen up to this one.
He's going to get more involved in the play calling going forward.
You know why? Because he said, I'm the head coach.
I feel like I have to, and I want to. You know, that's what I know. So I'm not going to continue to watch something that I know how to do. Keep being that way. That's just the truth. I mean, that's nothing against anybody in our building. I just think that's what I do, and I think I need to be a little bit more involved. Trust me when I say I'm not trying to create any issue here. But I think if the offense is not playing well, and if we haven't over a period of time, being a head coach and an offensive guy who's done this, I think I have every right as a head coach to jump in here and see if I can help and assist and get this thing to where I think it needs to be.
That's
we need to be
coming
better on offense.
He loves him some title.
That is a problem.
He loves
the title.
That is going to
be a problem there.
There are certain people in any line of work that love the title. I am your superior. I am your
Haley.
I am the head coach.
Haley versus Jackson.
That's my specialty. Then I need to be involved more, and I will be.
Yeah.
Todd Nothing Haley, has changed.
Hugh Jackson.
Yep.
Here we go. Here comes the showdown.
Awesome.
The power struggle begins right now.
Who's going to win that? Todd Haley's going to win it.
That's the start of it right there.
Because if you're...
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Because
if you start what?
This is gonna work out for Haley because if you're a good coach, and I think there are some good coaches on the team, and they've spoken about it, that we're going to back Haley on this because he knows what he's doing. This guy, he just likes the title.
Three. Brady, 12. Let's go for this interview.
React. We got one of those tonight, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do, boy.
Hey, Tom.
Tom.
How's the Windy City, Tom?
Tom.
Did you think Josh Gordon was going to score on the one that he was running when he looked really gassed?
Panthers. Tom. 40 Tom. Yards after the catch. He looked like he was out of breath after 10, Tom.
Tom.
Panthers beat the Eagles 21-17. Before the game, Carolina safety Eric Reed got into it with Philly's safety Malcolm Jenkins. So after the game, Reed had some strong words about Jenkins.
Change words with Malcolm Jenkins. Explain what that was about.
No.
Does it have anything to do with the disagreement about the players' coalition?
He's a sellout.
About the players' what?
Coalition.
Oh, okay. And then
their agreement with the league to what they were going to do.
His answer was what?
Combat.
He's a sellout.
Sellout.
Sellout. Is that what
sellout.
He said?
Sellout.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought he
sellout.
Said solo.
He's a sellout.
Okay.
Why do you say that?
Because he's a sellout.
Is that what you told him?
Yes.
Would he say something specifically to you to get
now? No, his actions speak louder than his words. We believe a lot of players should have stepped up for Colin.
Here we go.
I believe Malcolm capitalized on the situation. He co-opted the movement that was started by Colin to get his organization funded. It's cowardly. He sold us out.
Wow.
This is part of the issue when you take on Guys like Reed and, or Kaepernick, all this other stuff that comes with it. And he's out there trying to start fights before the game. He had that crazy look in his eye. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm loco and let's go.
Yeah.
And then he hit Wentz, and then Ertz went after him. He picks up Ertz and body slams him. I mean, you going to play football or are you going to start fights and do other things? That's what Carolina's got to worry about.
Reed,
I don't know,
also said after locker the game, room for it. He called the Players Coalition a, quote, NFL-funded subversion group. It's not messing around.
Subversive.
Yes.
Yeah. But he'll show up and take a check. He'll take a check from them. NFL, the owners.
Wait,
team.
So what? You can't play in the NFL and play the game and then also have an opinion on this?
Oh, you can, but when you carry it over to the field, you're starting fights before the game because of it. I think that becomes an issue.
I think you let your very strong union handle it for you. They've done so well for you so far.
When you're leaving your stretching group because you're going to start a fight at midfield for against another player because of his beliefs or what he thinks, I think that is a distraction to your team. Yes.
Why do they call it intestinal virus and not diarrhea?
React.
I don't know, Ken.
Because you eat too much Proscatuto.
You got the scotch. Proscatuto.
Thank you, Hardy.
Now we can eat.
Thank you, Hardy. We will return to the World Series and some thoughts on Mookie Betts coming up right after this.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Talk about Mookie Betts. What do you say, Zoe?
Okay.
We had a caller last week, I think it was Friday, who suggested, hey, Mookie should play some second base. And I was rather dismissive of it.
I would say, ha-ha.
Not because I didn't think it was a decent idea, but because I thought there was no chance of it ever happening.
Yeah, like come on. When's the last time he did it? August 3rd,
He did it one game in August. There's no way Cora is going to go for this. Like, come on. We don't actually think that's going to happen. Guess what? Cora wants to check it out. He might actually go for this. He might go for Mookie Betts playing second base when they're in the National League Park and they've got to find a place for J.D. Martinez in the field. Mookie Betts, or Mookie, as Maz calls him.
Mookie
might be playing a little second base. Here's Alex Cora.
He feels that he's great at second. I don't know. I never saw it. If you ask him, I'm great. You know, if you ask Pedroia, then he'll say he sucked. There's a lot that goes into it. Teams do it differently. I saw Muncy playing second base yesterday. That's the way they do it. We got some pretty good second basemen. We got some good outfielders. And like I said, this is we're in the World Series. That conversation was going to come up. One thing for sure, you know, JD will play. That's clear. So we'll see which alignment is better, which lineup is better, and we'll make decisions accordingly.
Still doesn't mean it's going to happen, but at least he's thinking about it.
When he says which lineup is better, I think that's lineup meaning bats, which bats are better. And we're going to roll with the guys that can get
it. Got to give that caller credit last week.
Yeah.
Forget the name. But that caller.
It wasn't Ken and Lowell.
The caller's point was, yeah, he might not consider it, but he should. Well, here he is, and he's doing it. Hmm. Should he consider it? Yeah, he should give it some consideration. Does it mean Mookie Betts should start at second base?
Yeah.
Ask him.
Should start at second base?
Don't ask Pedroia, though.
Can't really nod. You know, I mean, how do you nod? Yeah. Mookie, should you play second base?
I don't know.
Well, now Mookie doesn't know.
I like to run around in the field.
All right. I like that they're considering it. I don't know if it's going to happen. Would I want to see him playing in this series at second base so that Jackie Bradley Jr. can remain in the lineup?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jackie Bradley Jr. is all that important in the lineup, but I think his defense is valuable.
I guess.
Here's why you would consider it. The defense is valuable in the big park. It's valuable there.
Agreed. How much bigger is that park? Huge, huh?
I don't know if I'd call it huge, but it's big.
Yeah, but you're still taken away by putting JD out there and moving Mookie to second base. You're still taking away from the outfield defense. Mm. Either way.
True.
You know what I mean? You have a better center fielder. Benintendi sliding over to center and having JD play left, you're having JD play right and Mookie sliding over to center.
Okay, I think JBJ is a better center fielder than Mookie is.
Or Benintendi, yeah.
They're both good. But I think he's better. I think he plays a great center field.
This happens is if Jackie Bradley hits like two or three home runs in the first two games at Fenway and stays hot. If he stays hot, it's going to be tough to take him out of the lineup.
That I would agree with. So if all of a sudden JBJ goes 0 for 8 in the first two games, you're not going to see it happen, right? They're not going to do that.
That's why you have to wait, because he goes so hot and cold so quickly,
so
you don't know.
You understand that his defense would be valuable. It's not that much of an upgrade over Mookie in center. But if there's an upgrade over Kinsler, right? If there's an upgrade over Kinsler
right.
or Brock Holt offensively because Jackie Bradley Jr. is hot and is crushing the ball still, hitting his home runs, even though he was only 3-for-15 in the last series.
Or he might not be.
It's not exactly super hot, but he's hitting for power. Then you have to consider it at that point. So we're going to say that he will consider it if JBJ is smoking hot and hitting home runs in the first two games.
Then you get the option to bring somebody off the bench to say the series isn't going your way and you're going to LA. Now you've got different options to where, okay, we got to tweak this lineup and spark it and get it going somehow. To where you could say, hey, okay, you're going to move to late in the game, maybe fifth. You know, we'll take Mookie from second. We'll slide him to center. We'll get Jackie's bat out of there and bring
yep.
somebody off the bench like, Mitchie Two Bags. You know, you get options now.
We've got a couple of Red Sox calls on the line. We're going to get to those coming up in 90
Sweet.
Seconds. And we have open lines, 617-779-0985. We'll keep talking Sox right after these headlines.